What's up, world? Welcome back to another episode of Keeping It Real. How you doing out there? I am one of your hosts, Zaki Lawrence, and I'm joined with the other host,
India Stallworth. Woo!
Let's go. Let's go. Another episode. What's up? What's up? What's up? What's up? How you doing, India?
I'm fantabulous. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm chilling. Bye, Bing. Oh, man. What is this? What is this? What is this? Like episode 13 of season one? Is this the season finale? What are we doing right now, huh? Huh? What is this?
I don't know, man. You know, maybe.
Maybe.
You know, just throw it out there. Hey, you guys. Hey, guess what? This is it.
This is it. We're done. We didn't get picked up for another season. We're out.
We're out. Don't even worry about it.
Don't worry about it. We're like Lovecraft Country. Had one good season and we're gone. Thank you.
Forgot all about that show.
Everybody talks about that show. They love it.
Cool.
Right. We didn't come here to talk about that. We came here to talk about another TV show that has multiple seasons, like us. Right? We came here to talk about the wonderful, amazing Atlanta, written and created by Donald Glover, a.k.a. Childish Gambino, a.k.a. This is America.
AKA This is America, when he's got such a bigger track record than This is America.
That's what sticks. You know what I'm saying? This is America, Atlanta, Donald Glover. You know what I mean? You know, so this is what we remember. This is America. He had his shirt off. He had long hair. He was just running.
Glover. I love Donald Glover.
I do too. Very talented guy. Can sing, can act, can write well. Very talented young man. Or older man. I don't know how old he is. He has gray hairs. We're just gonna middle age him. Just give him a little middle age.
Okay.
Oh, man. But yeah, that's what we come here to talk about today. Atlanta TV show. How you feel about Atlanta, India?
How do I feel about it? I loved it. I don't know how to explain it. The music was good. The vibe was good. I was, you know, with it. It's one of the few shows that I actually stuck by and I came back to finish it rather than saying I would come back. So it was a fun time.
Okay. I feel like I got in the game a little late. I feel like I came in like season two or like middle of season two. And then I like stuck with it through the rest of the, to the end of the series. But I really fuck with it. I really like it. It's a really cool show.
Yeah, let's get into it. Let's talk about it.
Right. We have four really main characters. Earn, a.k.a. Ernest, played by Donald Glover. We have Alfred, a.k.a. Paperboy, played by Brian Tyree Henry. We have Darius, a.k.a. Lakeith Stanfield. And we have Vanessa, a.k.a. Van, played by Zazie Beetz. And let me set the scene right quick. Alfred, a.k.a. Paperboy, is a rapper in Atlanta who, at where we meet him, he's kind of like starting to take off. He has a friend, Darius, who's very, like, weird. And his cousin is Earn. Earn wants to try to manage Paperboy. He wants to attach himself to his cousin's success. But Earn is kind of homeless when we meet him. And he has a baby mama who is Van, and they have like a child, and that's where we meet everybody.
Yeah,
pretty much.
I love how you're like, he's got a baby mama and they have like a child. It's kind of a given, but hey,
you never know what you call it. Yeah, like that's where we start with Earn. Like he's really homeless. If we're gonna keep it a buck, he's kind of homeless.
He's not kind of, he is. Like, his parents won't take him. He kind of tries to get back in Van's good graces to get a place to stay.
He was staying in that storage locker.
He was.
He's sleeping on a couch.
That was rough. He was buying kitty meals. And they're like, yo, you can't get a kitty meal if there's no kitty with you. And he's like, just give me the fucking meal. That's all I can afford. Give me a water cup. I'm going to get water, I swear. And you filled it up with soda.
When was the last time you had a kitty meal, though?
when I was a kiddie.
Oh, all right.
I had definitely have not gotten any sort of Happy Meal, little shorty meal, whatever they want to call it.
Shorty meal.
Since at least 10.
Oh my God.
It's definitely been over 10 years since I've eaten a kid's meal.
I mean, I thought about spending a block once or twice. They dropped a couple cool toys. Like, I thought about it. I'm not going to lie to you. When they had, like, that weird, like, avant-garde, like, McDonald's toys, I was like, maybe I should just get a 5-piece nugget and some apple slices. You know what I mean? Just for the toy.
No. I will say I've eaten, like, the senior meals, which is basically the same thing as a kiddie meal.
What is a senior meal?
A senior meal is when, instead of giving, like, as an entree, instead of giving you, like, 2 chicken breasts and a cup of rice and a cup of vegetables, it's half of that. So you get half, you get 1 chicken breast, you get half a cup of rice, half a cup of vegetables. Because they think old people can't eat, like, heavy food.
I know some old people eat a lot.
Hey, man. They make these senior menus thinking that every senior citizen that comes in the restaurant is on hospice. That's the only way I can explain it.
I see what you mean. These old people are getting weak nowadays.
Yeah. So, I mean, I like to eat those, you know, just like a little light meal. You don't have to feed me 3 pounds of pasta. Just give me a good bowl and I'll be good.
Okay.
Anyways. Anywhoosies, Ernest broke.
Yeah, very broke. What does he do? Does he like works at this like credit card like sign up place when we first meet him?
Like the airline credit card place where it's like sign up for our credit card and you'll get like miles. So something like that. And obviously nobody wants to do that because half the time you're gonna get families that are running late, quote unquote late for their flight, and it leaves in 6 hours. You're gonna get people that don't even know what you're talking about. You're gonna get people like me that just want to pass you because you're not gonna talk to me. So he sees the potential in Al to get rich. So it's kind of like he believes in him, but he's also taking advantage of his potential success.
Yeah, he has no way out. Like, he needs money, and he needs money now because, like, he has to help with his baby moms and his child. Like, he needs money. Like, he needs rent money. He needs everything. And he sees Al, like, kind of doing well, and he was like, you know what? I can fix that. And he tries to become his manager. And at first, when he first like starts talking to Al about becoming his manager, I'm like, this is never going to work. Like, he's too soft. Has he not listened to Al's music? It's very trap. It's very real. He has a gold chain. He has a full beard. Like, you can't manage him. I know he's your cousin and everything, but like, you're not tough enough for this.
I mean, I guess that was the premise.
Mm-hmm.
Al was like, you don't know anything. Just because you went to a fancy school doesn't mean you know anything.
He went to Princeton, right?
I thought he went to like Penn.
It's Princeton. I believe it's Princeton. It? Mm-hmm. And he got kicked out.
He did get kicked out.
Because he got invited back. Yep.
Something with a P.
Something with a P. It's crazy. But yeah.
Boy, all about that paper boy.
Who do you think recorded those songs? I feel like it was Donald Glover. Because I'm like, his voice shouldn't be that high.
Yeah.
A lot of times I was like, this is definitely Donald Glover.
It definitely could have been. But you never know. It also could have been Brian Tyree Henry. Just with some editing.
Hmm.
Who knows?
Can you imagine that though? Like having to like record a song that's like not real? Y'all just want me to come in here and say Paperboy 1,000 times? Okay, cool. This is going to be my whole day? All right. Nice.
All right. It happens. It occurs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I guess over time, we also skipped over the part that Earn is kind of an asshole. I'm not going to lie. He would say things that didn't have to be said. You know, it's like, hey, we're we could be thinking it. I don't care. You didn't have to say it, though. You know, it just making things worse for his situation. I don't know. It was mostly between him and Van. Maybe because I am always a sucker for, you know, get these people back together. No broken homes. No broken homes on my watch. But every time he was with Van, he would just show his ass and kind of be like, oh, well, like, none of this matters. You know, none of this matters. Who cares?
They would try to change to the end. Like,
yeah, until the very end. And then they're back together. They're engaged. And I'm just like, where was this? The entire show.
Exactly.
It's like, man, I need you. Like, Lottie needs us. She needs us to be like this tight together forever family. No broken families on my watch. When you were breaking the family for 3 seasons straight.
He was definitely saying some wild stuff. Because she definitely asked him like, oh, I want to commit a relationship. He was like, way things going right now is pretty good for me, actually. Like, what are we talking about right now? He just like having a baby mama. That was really it. He's just like, this is pretty cool. I like this. I like being able to sleep here sometimes. That's nice.
Sometimes. Yeah, he was definitely not, I don't know. I don't even know how to explain it. I feel like he was a little secretive with Al in the beginning, because obviously Al's not stupid. Al knew like he was kind of just being almost like a parasite in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to mooch off whatever success and move around whatever money that would be coming in from the mixtapes and songs and stuff like that.
Because he said that too. He's like, you ain't talked to me since my mom's funeral. He's like, ah, but I'm trying to manage you though. Trying to get us off the hood.
Yeah, but okay. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, I definitely like the growth, but I just feel like it was such a stark turn. Like, he didn't change until he had, like, true money. But it also made sense, because when he had true money, that's when he could finally afford a therapist and talk about everything that went wrong and his mentality and how he moves. So it makes sense. Because therapy and mental health support is expensive.
Yeah. Yes, it is. It's like not great right now.
No. So of course he had to have gobs of money until he actually could change for the better because he had that support. Wow. I made a breakthrough. I've changed my mind. I understand why he waited till the end to change.
I guess he could have just been better, but you know, we needed a character arc for real. So I'll accept that breakthrough. It's just cool. It's all right. But like, seeing Earn go from like this like ground zero to like this smart, emotionally intelligent, like in control of things is really cool. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of similar to like, sometimes I looked at like Earn as like Issa, you know what I mean? Because like, he was very awkward throughout most of the show and most of the situations he was in. And it was really cool to see him like become very like well-rounded in the end, like complete in a way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very, like when he was in the, he got arrested and that guy was like, stop being weird.
He's like, I'm not being weird. You're being weird.
He's like, I'm not. I don't know. It was definitely some growth for sure. Maybe part of it came from the money and the other part just came from maturing and actually living life rather than getting by day by day.
Facts. What about Al's growth, though? What about Paperboy?
Paperboy. All about that Paperboy. That's really the only song we ever heard from him. We didn't hear any other mixtape, any other song, single, whatever. It was just that one song. I think his growth was kind of, I want to say his growth was more subtle or more, I don't even know how to explain it, more internal than Earn's.
Mm.
Because Alfred didn't say much. If he did say much, it would be through his reactions rather than his words. So I feel like he, in the beginning, he was kind of, you know, like, stubborn, rightfully so, though, and he wanted to, more guarded, and he was definitely, like, one of those authentic rappers who didn't want to change for the fame. He didn't want to fall into the typical, like, getting famous mold.
He really wanted to be real. That's what he kept saying initially. Yeah. He was like, well, I just want to stay real. And that girl was like, nobody's real, bro. Like, we all doing this for the money and for, like, the fame and stuff. Like, nobody's real.
Right.
He was like, nah, I'm going to stay real. We'll have to band. Da, 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 da. I'm still in the hood. Da, 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 da. He's just like, what are we doing, man?
Yeah. And I think that changed in that episode of The Woods.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was mostly talking about, like, oh, like, can't be real in this industry. Like, you have to kind of sell yourself a little bit. And all throughout that episode, you just see him, like, trying so hard to be himself, be who he wanted to be, which was real. And it kind of just, it ended up with him just being alone and beat up and kind of lost.
Mm-hmm.
So then after that, he kind of realized that everyone was right. And you can't be real in this industry without it backfiring on you. So then he decided to finally break out of that mindset and kind of go with the flow of being famous and being on social media and being open to go on talk shows and go across the country to perform and taking pictures with fans and being, you know, outward about his personality and his life.
He started selling himself for real.
Exactly.
But I do think it's crazy, though, that you, like that whole Woods episode, like, he, like, almost died and is, like, still taking pictures with fans. Like, there's still dirt on your hoodie, sir. There's still blood coming out of your mouth. Why are you taking photos? What are we, in a gas station? In a BP? This random dude? Nah, fam. I would have had to say no. No, thank you. I'm cool. I still smell like dirt and frog sap. Like, I'm not about to keep doing this. I'm not about to take no photos with you.
It's, you know, that's the price you have to pay with fame, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Ready to move on to my favorite character, low key?
Okay.
Darius. I'm a big fan of the weirdo sometimes, you know what I mean? Like, Darius lives in his own world at all times. There was very few times when he was just like, wow, this is a dangerous situation. He was always just like, when Paperboy shot that dude, he was like, man, I had crazy deja vu about this. Why are you talking about deja vu when there's guns out, man? Or when he had, like, that, when they met the Migos and, like, that camp or whatever. And the briefcase, like, attached to his arm, like, handcuffs on. He's like, ah, guys, I forgot the key. What are we going to do? Like, sir, you just saw a man almost get tortured. Well, no, you saw a man die. And you just like, ah.
Wow, the key.
You got the key? Paperboy, you got the key? Nah.
He's just like such a silly little guy. I don't even know how to explain it. And you can tell that he was just going to be consistently weird when we first met him. And he's got a bandana on, a knife in one hand, and a plate of cookies in the other. Like, that's not the most random mix.
That's a crazy combo.
You know, he said, hey, if I have to fight, I have to fight. But if not, I'm a lover. I'm offering you cookies.
Does he have any, like, growth or anything? Does he go on any character arc? In your opinion?
In my opinion, no. Because, again, he was just consistently weird. Like, I don't know if he, like, changes. Maybe he's a lot, I guess he's less aloof near the end. You know, kind of like, what's going on? It became more of like a, I know what's going on, but I'm not a part of that. I'm going to go over here and self-medicate. But other than that, I don't think he really had I don't know. I don't think he had like any growth or like big changes.
It's weird because I feel like he doesn't change, but we learn more about him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we see more like inside of his mind, and like we slightly get to see a little bit of what makes him him a little bit because of his like what he's gone through, like his family and stuff like that. But like mostly he's just feeling the vibes and he's just going with the flow of everything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing. I don't know if we needed like growth from everybody, but we get to see his unique perspective, like because he's always talking about if this is actually real or not. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Especially when he gets to the end of the show, it's like, wait a minute, what was I watching just now? What just happened right there?
Right.
But yeah, I love Darius. Darius is pretty cool. That's when I'm heavy. The stuff he said has just been some of the funniest stuff in the show. Not gonna lie.
He was just random. He's just a silly guy.
Nice little silly person. Van.
Van, she goes on her own little journey.
She gets weird.
She gets weird, and I don't even know how to explain why. Like, is it because she was basically the voice of reason, and she was tired of being the voice of reason?
I guess. I have no idea.
Like,
cut her hair, and then she just started wearing weird clothes, and just, I don't know.
Weird clothes.
She did. She had on that, like, that like short hair, that, like, black and white striped shirt, and she just was, like, carrying baguettes and speaking a different language. I was like, what is going on?
Uh-huh.
She was staying in random hotels. Like, I was so confused. I was like, did she have a mental breakdown?
Right. I think so. That's what it seemed like. It seemed like she was just trying to live her life the best that she could as a mother and as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to try to find that balance of being a mother and also keeping up with, you know, her friends and being the fun person rather than just being the typical mom who's like only takes care of her kid and nothing else. Mm-hmm. Which is not, there's nothing wrong with that, but I understand that she craved to be more than that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think it was like a mental breakdown of just, you know, she couldn't. Thinking about it in her perspective, her like on and off boyfriend, baby daddy, whatever you want to even call Earn, he went from rags to riches. Like, he went from rags to riches, and it wasn't like an overnight thing. Of course, he like built up to that moment. And of course, now he's helping more because he's got money, but you're still conflicted because, again, broken home. Broken home. I know she lost her job at one point.
Because she was smoking weed.
She smoked. That could have, you know, sent her over. And maybe the fact that she had been taking care of Lottie, their daughter, for so long that when she lost her job and Earn could kind of step in and help out kind of set her off. Because she was like, maybe she thought, I've been able to take care of her by myself essentially all this time, and now he's kind of making it look easy. I, you know, maybe it's just that, I think. So then she snapped and went to Europe and started stealing things and killing people.
What?
Didn't she kill somebody?
I don't remember killing anybody.
Or did I imagine that? Well, she was beating people. She was definitely beating people up to search for something. She had like a baguette. The baguette was like a weapon. It was somehow like extra stale. She was like hitting people with it.
Yeah. It was weird, man. I don't know. I feel like Van is one of those characters. It's like she's just trying to succeed. Like, I feel like from the jump, she's always wanted like the happy home and then the good career,
mm-hmm.
and like completeness, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
She, what you call it, I feel like that's what her whole arc was about. Sometimes it was like happening, and then other times it wasn't happening. And that's what she kind of like just continued to chase throughout the entire series. Like, she wanted to have Earn, have Lottie, have a job, and not have to worry about Earn as much, and not have to worry about Lottie as so intensely, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why everything the way that it was with her, you know what I mean? Like, she just really wanted to succeed, and she really wanted things to, like, look and seem perfect. Because, like, when that episode of when her and Earn went to, like, her, like, aunt's, like, Juneteenth party or whatever, mm-hmm. and they were faking it, and she, like, was upset about it because that's what she truly wanted. She wanted that to be, like, her actual reality, but it wasn't. It was just, like, lies and stuff Earn was saying. That's what she was like, you're mean or whatever, you know what I mean? Because, like, it was hitting that what she really wants in life.
You're mean.
She literally said, you're mean.
I know,
like, that all this emotional stuff.
That part got me. Like, it's like, I feel like saying you're mean is such a scratching the surface. Like, like you're at a playground and somebody steals your ball. I'm like, you're mean. But yeah, these characters went through it. It was good to see.
Good to see. You know what I mean? Yeah, like that whole Earn and Van, like that Germantown episode, heartbreaking to me, heartbreaking.
It was just, I was so angry at Earn because it just seemed like...
He was doing too much.
It just seemed like he couldn't do the things that Van was doing for him.
Mm-hmm.
It was very one-sided, you know? He would go to clubs and outings with Alfred and... Darius all the time and bring Vanessa along, and she would kind of just be there, and of course she's vibing, but that's not all she wants to do, is party and drink and, you know, do drugs. And Van tried to show Earn like her side of her world,
mm-hmm.
and he was just like, no, this sucks, this isn't vibey, I hate mm-hmm. it, and just being like a complete bummer. And then they have like this love and basketball type situation, but with ping pong. And it's like, oh, let's play ping pong for a relationship. Like,
mm-hmm.
if I lose, we're not together. If you lose, we're together type. And then they're like, she's like fighting to the death. She's like, I don't want to be with you. Slamming mm-hmm. these ping pong balls right at him, and he sucks.
Yes, he does.
Like,
it was an easy game.
I don't even think he was trying. Like, he saw how hard she was gonna play, and he was like, nah, I'm not gonna win.
I feel like he was trying, he just was bad at ping pong. Like, he just couldn't return the serves. Like, he was just like, ah. Because at the beginning, when they first played ping pong, she was busting his ass, and then at the end, when it was like the most important game of his life, he didn't show up, man. He was like a 2011 LeBron. Like, it was just bad. Like, this is the love of your life and you just about to lose? Like, she was going crazy. I don't know if I could play ping pong for my relationship. I don't think I'd be able to. I think I'll lose too, personally, because I'm not good at ping pong.
I would definitely lose.
Yeah.
Because no way you're going to slam it over here. That's not even fair. Like, this house is a fair game.
Nah.
But yeah. What else?
You wrote on here, the TV show took a turn.
It took a turn.
Where do you think what turn are you talking about? Where do you think it happened?
It goes from, Atlanta goes from being a show about Al's rap career and how Earn is helping to something that's be way bigger and beyond the rap career. Again, the only song you ever hear from Alfred is Paperboy. You don't hear any other song because they're so busy showing you everything else. Like, of course, we see that he's successful, that he's going on tour, that they're making a lot more money. But from what? You can't be... Can't be a very successful rapper on all these talk shows, on all these, you know, going on tour and on the radio with one song. And you're like the last season it was almost barely about the main character, because a lot of the episodes just had like these side stories that didn't even tie into the main characters, really. It was just kind of like its own little mini story,
mm-hmm.
that shined a light on some sort of problem, maybe within like the system when it comes to Black people, or just, I don't even know how to explain it. It was just very political, maybe.
Mm-hmm. This is America.
Not this is America. I think it maybe took a turn like midway.
Mm-hmm.
So first two seasons were fairly normal, quote unquote. And then that's when they kind of got into like these deeper out of pocket episodes.
Out of pocket?
I don't know how to describe it. Just like, you know, it became almost like an anthology, mm-hmm. in the last season and a half.
Did you like it or did you hate it?
I think when I was getting closer to the end, I was like, like, why are we focusing more on other stories rather than, you know, because I was more so worried about how are they going to tie this all up and wrap it up and be like, okay, this show is done. But when I noticed that there was just a lot of episodes that had nothing to do with the main cast, I was just like, I'm stressed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's going to be so many unanswered questions. But I mean, I still enjoyed it. There was a lot of sadness with those episodes, so I was just like, oh.
This is not what I signed up for. Like, it was, I don't know. When I jump into a TV show and I get familiar with the cast, I want to see that cast in every episode, you know what I mean? And those episodes where it's just like there's no connection to Earn, Al, or Van, or Darius at all, and it was just like, okay, what am I watching here? I was like, what is, like, they weren't bad episodes, but it was just like, I want to see Earn do something, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was still funny moments in these episodes, but I was still like, where's Darius, where's Van, where's Al, where's somebody that I'm like, I didn't spend like 2 years with, you know what I mean? Like, where did they go, what are they doing, why is this happening? I understand like this political reason and stuff like that, but like, I was just like, where's the people I know?
That's literally how to sum it up. And then I feel like the last two seasons were rushed, which is probably why I'm saying that the first two seasons are completely different from the last two seasons. Because the first two, again, they focus of the main cast, the, you know, rapping and managing, producing, whatever. And then the last two seasons, they came out in the same year. I think the third season came out like early 2022, and the fourth season came out in the later half, like fall, winter time.
Hmm.
So they were kind of like split. They split up the show in that way, to the point where I felt like it was rushed, because it almost seemed like three and four were the same concept. And we're talking about bigger, you know, deeper things. For example, that episode where that kid is like somehow shipped to like a foster family for no mm-hmm. reason, which was crazy. I was like so sad that entire, I was sad when the mom just like gave him away.
Yeah, I was like, ooh.
I was like, wait. She was like, oh, you called the cops on me? Get him out of here. No, nobody called the police. And it was based off like that true story
mm-hmm.
of that couple who adopted a bunch of Black children and ended up killing themselves and the children. And I don't even know what for, but that, you know, it just made me sad. The episode made me sad specifically because I knew it was based off that. And the episode ended with the kids at least escaping. Like, only the two women died.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing that didn't happen in real life, I was just like, aw, what was the point?
Mm. It was weird how long of a gap it is between seasons 2 and 3 and 4. You know what I mean?
Because,
I don't know. I guess we can say pandemic stuff, but I don't know. I don't don't want to use that as a cop out.
I think at first it was, I know originally season three took a minute because Donald's father had passed away and he wanted to have like some time, rightfully so. I remember that. And I was just like, oh, okay, well, I'll just wait. And then COVID hit and it kind of erased my brain of everything. I was just like, I don't know what's not coming back and what is. This thing is stupid. COVID sucks. What is COVID? Take me to school. I shouldn't be here, but I am. Yeah, so I think that's why. And at that point, 2-3 years had gone by and Donald Glover was probably like, well, I have bigger and better ideas. I kind of don't want to carry this show with me, which is understandable. Not all shows need to have 20 seasons like Grey's Anatomy or Law and Order, so it's understandable.
Man, yeah. But I still think there were funny moments, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, even of course. Though,
like, the weird timing of the seasons and stuff like that. I feel like there were still funny moments throughout the entire series. Do you have any, like, funny moments that you really love?
I like the barber episode when Alfred is trying to get a haircut, a simple haircut, and it turns into this entire rigmarole. And it's funny to me because it's just kind of like a dramatic way of what Black people do go. They kind of experience with barbers and hairdressers and stylists, you know, like those typical, you book up an appointment with an Instagram braider 2 weeks ahead of your appointment. And then 2 hours before your appointment, you get that text that says, hey, girly, you know, or like the barber, you make the appointment with the barber at 9 at opening. Essentially, you get there. Nobody's there. Nobody's in the shop. Nobody pulls up until maybe 9:30, maybe. And then just because they pulled up at 9:30 doesn't mean you're instantly going to get in the chair. Mm-hmm. No, you might not get in the chair until like 10:15. And in between every cut, they're going to stop and talk to this dude, talk to that person. Oh, my girl's calling. Oh, my son's calling. Oh, my daughter's calling. Jesus Christ, just line me up, man. Just give me a number 2. I don't even care.
What you know about a number 2?
I don't even care at this point. Just give me whatever you can before someone else distracts you.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, it's like being at a barbershop. Like, it's such a waiting game, because like, don't let it be like 2-3 people in front of you, because then you just like, you just there now. This is where you live now, because your barber gonna talk to somebody. It don't matter. He gonna be talking to the entire shop, or he gonna be talking to somebody. It's gonna be somebody that come up to shake his hand, and he be like, oh, who out the band? Who out the band? And you just sitting there with a cold half a head. You know what I mean? Like it's something. Something's gonna happen. Somebody gonna call. Somebody gonna text. Somebody gonna call the shop. Sometimes the barber just walk away. He just walk away. It don't even fucking matter what. He don't even give you. He just walk away. And you just sitting there just like, damn. And you're not even facing the TV. So you got to like kind of turn your neck a little bit. And you can be like, oh, huh. They're playing Men in Black. Oh, that's nice. Like, it's like, it's something that always happens. And this episode was hilarious to me because he was just going all out the way. He got there at open. He going all out the way with his barber for nothing. He watched a kid in front of him get cut. That kid didn't come to the shop. He was in the chair. Like, it was just crazy. Why are we going to pick up wood from a construction site?
Huh? Illegally. It was illegally too. The woman pulled up. She said, you're not even supposed to be here.
He said some, y'all got to pay me for the lumber, and drove off.
It was just a bunch of rigmarole. And I think it's because My uncle used to be a barber, and I have never seen somebody who is licensed to cut hair and their main line of income is to cut hair, and somehow he just hated it. Like, why are you showing up an hour later when people have appointments? Why do you live around the corner from the shop and you're still late? What?
Why the barber's is it, never on time? I just want to throw that out there. Barbers are never on time.
You want to cut your own son's hair? Like, you don't even have that much patience. Barbers are crazy. They're. I feel like that's what they study in school. Just how to waste people's time. That's like a whole week's worth of a lesson right there. How can you make this visit the most biggest waste of time for this person?
Exactly. I'd be like, lesson one, when to take the call. Like, it's just, yeah. Like, I got, like, I had a barber. Like, we agreed. I'm getting my hair cut at, like, 8 o'clock. Tell me why I'm getting my hair cut to 10:30. Like, what are we doing? Like, right? What, like, it's like, already 8 p.m. Like, why is it double digits now? Why is it 10:30 p.m.?
Why would you make me make my appointment at 1 p.m.? And when I get there, you're still cutting Mr. 11:30's hair. And you're telling me that there's Mr. Noon in front of me. Like, you're telling me I gotta wait for you to finish and for you to cut somebody else's hair? I promise you, the next person in this chair is gonna be me. Exactly. And if it's not, you're gonna have to drag me out of here.
Exactly. Like, I hate when it's either like a little kid or an old man. Like, those are the worst. Because it's like, you're not really supposed to say nothing, but you want to say something. Like, why does old man need a haircut, man? Just let it, just die already. What are we doing, bro? Like, what do you need a haircut for? You don't go nowhere, grandpa.
This was just like a top 10 episode. And it was because he was like, no, I promise. I'm going to cut your hair right after this. I promise. 30 minutes of an episode. 30 minutes of an episode, which equals the whole day in this show's world. And this guy's hair is still not cut. I forgot what was like the last straw, but Alfred literally grabbed him and was like, you're going to cut my hair. You're going to cut my hair right now.
He caught his son like skipping school. And he was like, Alfred, come and spy these kids. Huh? Cut my hair. Bro got into a hit and run. Hair still uncut. Why am I in a car accident with no lining? Like, what are you, huh?
It was top 10 episode for me.
For sure.
What was one of your favorite episodes, favorite funny episodes?
One of my favorite funny episodes? It was kind of early on in the show when, like, they had a club appearance and Al was just trying to get the money from, like, the promoter. And the promoter just kept disappearing. Like, the way he would just leave would be so funny. Like, he couldn't keep his, like, he couldn't look away for 2 seconds or he would, like, use a trap door and be gone. Like, it just made me laugh. Like, they were literally at the bar together. Nobody else was around. He gets the drinks. The promoter uses a secret door, uses a secret wall, and is gone. Like, why didn't he just hold his hand? Why didn't he just hold his hand the whole time? Like, that was hilarious to me.
People are crazy, and they'll do everything in their power to not pay for someone. And I think that's what they were trying to show. Oh,
man. Any other episodes?
I really like that episode where Alfred is on the talk show. This is also like a fairly early episode. He's like finally becoming a little bit known as Paperboy. And he goes on like this intellectual talk show, which is hilarious in its own way because he's not like an intellectual person. Not saying he's stupid, it's just like he's so stoic and doesn't care about anything to be talking about like these deep-rooted political issues. And there's like little breaks because it's almost like you're watching it as if you're watching the talk show itself.
Mm-hmm.
And there's these little commercial breaks which just tie into the funniness because it's just like random. Like I don't even remember all of them, but I know there was one where the guy was like in a Dodge Charger.
Mm-hmm.
And like it was one of those commercials that kind of like came up and they had different, it was like a continuation of each other. And of course it starts off with like him just enjoying himself, enjoying his ride. He's like, yeah, and then like the Dodge logo comes up and he's like, you need a ride in style or something like that. And the last commercial, it shows him getting out for gas and he's got no pants on. And there's like a passerby is like, yeah, that's Dan. His wife took everything but left him the car and the divorce. And you just see him like run back to the car in just his underwear. And it was funny. And there was like a segment on the TV show that was like, oh, let's watch this guy Harrison, who thinks who's like transracial. And, you know, he was born black, but he wants to be white. And he's just like, I am white. And the little breaks with his mom, and his mom's like, that boy is not white. That boy is sick.
I believe I'm a 35-year-old white man. That is hilarious.
It was so funny. That picture of him just like on the screen with the blonde wig on and Alfred dying. Like, just like, no way this is happening. That picture is so funny to me that I made it the contact photo of one of my bosses because I felt like it just summed up who he was as a person. It was just like a silly little episode. That was one of the episodes that didn't really tie into the main cast or whatever that I enjoyed, that didn't make me sad somehow.
This is a curveball, but like the rich wigga poor wigga episode where like they were like examining on who was black, who was not black, was just wildly funny to me for some reason. And like Kevin Samuels was in the episode, like what was going on right there? Like they had like this whole like they like created the thing in the gym, and like the jokes they were throwing at each other was just peak for me. I don't know why. It was hilarious. And by the end, like, he changes his whole, like, he has a whole arc and everything. Like, he changes from being, like, this kind of whitewashed character to, like, working in a shoe store. And he's, like, he got earrings and, like, a chain and, like, polos and a tattoo now. Like, he really one of them. Like, he was just wearing Patagonia, big dog. Like, where you go? What happened to you? What's up? What's happening right now?
Oh, good Lord.
Wild. For him to be like, oh, I'm really one of them ones now. Yeah, I kept the episode going, India. What did you do?
I accidentally pressed my power button.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Wait. Now I'm discombobulated. I don't even know. This is like when my lights went off that one time and you just thought it was okay to keep going.
Yeah, it is. Like,
there's two Craigs in here.
There's two Craigs?
Yeah.
I only see one Craig.
Oh, hold on. Okay. Well, okay. It looks like it's still recording.
Okay. I talked about the poor Wigga episode.
Please.
I think I got a good joke off, but
I don't even remember that episode other than Kevin Samuels, that's his name. Mm-hmm. Kevin Samuels being like the judge, which already wrong. and like I don't even know how it escalated to the point of the shooting. Is it because he got rejected?
Yeah. But another dark-skinned kid was trying to burn down the school, so it was like It is what it is, I guess.
It was, I was, and again, this, I just so happened to watch this episode a day or two after Kevin Samuels died, and I said, yo, I don't know why his existence shook me, but I was like, this dude just died.
Yeah, you want to just hop into Teddy Perkins and the Tyler Perry parody?
Let's talk about Teddy Perkins. Teddy Perkins. I was so scared of Teddy Perkins for so many reasons, because what did he symbolize? Was he supposed to be Michael Jackson? Was he just a creep? Why was he at the Grammys or whatever award show that was? Why was he there? They made such a big deal about like who he was specifically. Like, was it Donald Glover in prosthetics? Was it another cast member in prosthetics? Was it a completely different person? Like, who was it supposed to be? And then they took a picture with the main cast with Teddy Perkins. And now you're like, oh my God, who the fuck is Teddy Perkins? I was terrified, 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 terrified. I was just as terrified as I was when there was like that random epidemic of clowns in all the neighborhoods that would harass people. That's how scared I was. I just didn't understand it.
It was wild. I was like, this is definitely supposed to be Michael Jackson. This just feels weird.
But like, what was it? Because like, was it someone who like stole his identity? Because who was the dude that was all wrapped up in bandages?
That was supposed to be his brother, who was like the one that was like really good at playing the piano. Stuff like that, I guess. But I guess he was just like his prisoner. His prisoner. Because he didn't even say anything. He just wrote on the like chalkboard, like, go get the gun and kill Teddy, please.
It was very unsettling. I didn't like it. I didn't enjoy it. Just Darius's, like, again, his aloofness was just like, please leave. I need you to leave, Darius.
He was like, I gotta get out of here. I gotta go. He was like, because once he told him to like get the gun and stuff like that, he was like, oh, okay, I am gonna get this piano. I'm about to get the fuck up out of here. Okay, because this is not okay. But Teddy Perkins like blocked him in, and so he was like, Teddy, you blocked me in, man. I just want to go home. And he had that shotgun waiting for him. Oof.
It was just very strange.
What was the name of the what you call it? The other guy?
The other guy, like the brother?
No, I'm talking about the Tyler Perry impersonation.
Wasn't his name like Mr. Sweet or something? Mr. Candy?
Something weird.
And something like that. And I love how it was so obviously about Tyler Perry. I don't know what it was. And I'm surprised.
Yeah, his name was Kirkwood Chocolate.
Mr. Chocolate. I was impressed by the episode because, you know, there was that Boondocks episode that kind of made fun of Tyler Perry.
Mm-hmm.
And how he, like, works. And it eventually got, I don't know if they got, like, a cease and desist or whatever, but you can't watch the episode anymore. That's how heated Tyler Perry was about it.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of surprised that this one was up and still vibing.
Yeah. Like, Donald Glover has a unique way of doing this. You know what I mean? Like, he makes these, like, characters who are obviously people that we know. And they just go on this, like, and they just act weird or whatever. I don't know if he's trying to tell us something or not. But, like, it's always interesting to see, like, with Mr. Perkins, with Kirkwood Chocolate, and with, like, that TV show Swarm.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, we know who this is. We know who this is. Like, you just, I wonder what their reactions are to it. Like, that's what I really want. I really want to know what, like, Tyler Perry thought about it. Like he's like, I'm not like that. I have a full beard. Like, what are we doing? It's not me. I don't do these things. I wonder what, like, Beyonce thought about it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right. Well, obviously, they either didn't care or they were entertained because Donald Glover wasn't sued.
that we know of.
That we know of.
Maybe they had like a fight in the parking lot of like the Oscars or the Grammys or something like that.
Fight in the parking lot.
Yeah, what if they just pulled up on like before he hit the red carpet, but like afterwards? It's like, I heard all that shit you was talking, Donald. I watched the episode. What's the word?
Please.
That's funny. That'd be hilarious if he like showed up in like the Madea outfit just to fight Donald Glover. That'd be hilarious.
It was just very, oh my God, Donald Glover portrayed Teddy Perkins and Kirkwood Chocolate. It's so funny. That's so funny, but so sick. And then he has other people portray them in public so they can take pictures.
He keeps the bit going.
It was just silly. But again, it was silly, but also speaking on a very real situation or bringing awareness to that situation. So mm-hmm. It was, you know, still kind of cool to see.
And these episodes were connected to like one of the main characters. So it was like, okay, like it was Darius with Teddy Perkins. And then it was like Van with Kirkwood. So it was like, mm-hmm. The connectivity was there enough for me to like really pay attention and be like interested. You know what I mean?
Right.
Man. What's up with this goofy documentary or what?
No, I'm scared.
Why are you scared?
It was after that episode ended, I felt like a weird emptiness, like a strange emptiness. And I looked up if anything that I had just watched for the last 30 minutes was even true. And obviously, no, it wasn't.
But it felt real. It felt like this actually happened.
It felt real. And, you know, they would say things in the documentary that I'd be like, this is not right. This is just not true. And it was just so unsettling. When I got halfway into it, or maybe even just like a little bit into it, because it did seem like it was an hour long. It seemed like it went on forever. I pushed a button on the remote to make sure I was even watching Atlanta still, because I was just so lost during that episode that I was just very confused. Like, that was the one moment where I was like, I'm tired of these unrelated episodes. I just want to see the main cast again. What are they doing?
Yeah, it was interesting. It was just like, I don't know, like it's hard to explain because it felt like a real documentary. And like going on Twitter after like watching the episode, everybody was like in the same boat, like, this wasn't real, right? Right? Like this didn't happen. Has there ever been a, no way. Okay. But that's crazy though, right? That could happen.
It happened.
Yeah, it was just hilarious to me. And then it started off so wholesome, and then it became very just...
Well, that's how documentaries in general start. Everything was great until it wasn't. Like, it was just like, I'm scared.
Yeah, so many good episodes. So many. The cinematography in this TV show was pretty good. I feel like it did a similar thing to like Insecure a little bit with some of the negative space. But overall, it was just filmed well. It looked like it was filmed on like actual film, especially season two. It looked very like if it had that like film residue all over the episode and stuff like that. And it was just really cool to see. It was kind of trippy at some moments, too. And that cinematography helped out with all of that.
Right. I will say this has nothing to do with the like the actual show, but there was one promo for it. Where it was kind of like Earn is going through all these like scenes
mm-hmm.
or settings.
He was falling.
Yeah, he was falling. I like that. Okay. I don't know why that like got me, but that was something that I just remembered.
I love that commercial. And you could kind of tell like when he was actually falling because his face kind of like tensed up and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, dang it, before he hit the ground. You could tell the one when he like wasn't falling was just like, oh.
Right.
It was cool. All right, man. Tell me about the ending. Tell me about the ending of Atlanta.
The ending. So The ending actually follows Darius like the entire time, right?
For the most part, yep.
And it, you know, he's just going through like his own little world. We've at this point, we've never really followed Darius other than with Teddy Perkins.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like a new thing, but you're also like, okay, this is the last episode, so where are we going? Where are we going with this one person? And essentially, he's just like going on a... He's like hallucinating almost.
Mm-hmm. Goes into like a sensory deprivation, like tank place or whatever.
Right. And so he's kind of just... I don't even know how to describe it. Like he starts off with the crew and then he separates. Then he goes into the tank. And it's like, as soon as he gets out of the tank is when things start to just be out of it. And he runs into like an old friend, which just, she's crazy, essentially.
Yep.
Because she's like, oh, like, hey, let's hang out. Let's like get in my car, blah, blah, blah. And she's drinking. She's drinking. She's drunk. She's driving. They get pulled over and the officer's like, hey, get out the car. You know, I think you're driving drunk. She's like, no, no, this is water. If this was water, would I do this? And she chugs it. She chugs the vodka as if it were water. So boom, red flag number one. Number one and two, not only did you chug that like it was water, but now you're going to be drunk, extra drunk than what you were. She somehow passes her sobriety test. And everything seems like everything's going to go well until the girl grabs the gun, like gets back in the car and drives away with Darius. Then she hits somebody and dips. And in that whole sequence, all of a sudden the gun was in Darius's hands. And he's like, oh, shit. And then he wakes up. It was a dream. He wakes up. It was a dream. And didn't it turn out that he was like, or like he went back home and just started watching Judge Judy.
Mm-hmm.
As if nothing happened. Like as if he didn't experience like this crazy trip. It was very strange.
Yeah. A lot of the episode is him like just being in that tank constantly. Like we keep seeing like it's all just one big dream or whatever. And his way to know if it was a dream or not was like if Judge Judy was thick or not.
Mm-hmm.
If Judge Judy was thick, he knows that he was dreaming. She wasn't. He was really awake and stuff. But like that kind of like ends the series. You know what I mean? Like them hanging out and stuff like that and talking and vibing and like driving away or whatever. But we never truly like really get the answer on if like he was dreaming or not.
Right.
And it's like, it's an interesting way to end the series because like it makes you kind of think like, was all this shit a dream? Was this series just Darius? Like
Darius' perspective.
Yeah, like what's going on? But I don't know. I'm assuming that it wasn't at all just a dream, because that would be the longest fucking dream ever. But there's a lot of theories out there. I don't know. I don't know if they're true. But I don't know. I feel like ending a series is always hard.
Mm-hmm.
And this one didn't make me mad or anything. It just made me like, huh. All right, we're done now. Like, it wasn't bad or anything. I don't think it was like the most amazing episode that's ever been, but like, I didn't hate it. I thought it was cool. I thought it was interesting to see like more of Darius because I feel like everybody else is kind of like complete at this moment. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because Earn is like on the right path. Paperboy is doing what he wants to do. You know what I mean?
Right.
Van is also achieving what she wants to achieve, and like all we have left is Darius, and Darius's interesting perspective, and it was a good way to like just explore that just one last time because it's the end, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I liked it. It was cool. I don't think it was all a dream. Do you think it was all a dream? The whole series, the whole show?
I would hope not, but that would explain so many things that happen. Like again, that same episode you mentioned with the like the club owner ducking and dodging the gang for the money. Mm-hmm. At the end, there's like a random fight that ends with someone, like people getting ran over by an invisible car. Like, that was probably the most random things that happen in like that real life setting. It would explain Teddy Perkins. It would explain the Mr. Chocolate situation. It would, like, it just makes sense. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but I also hate that all of this was just a dream. Because then it's almost like, what was I watching? Like, if this was all a dream, then none of it mattered, what you're telling me.
So those side episodes are, like, actually, like, just different dreams? I'm tired of thinking about these same four people. I'm gonna dream about a racially ambiguous person tonight.
I love calling people racially ambiguous. Like, this is completely, like, a complete, like, not even related to the show. But there was a 7-Eleven underneath my apartment at MSU.
Mm-hmm.
And my roommate and I, we would go to 7-Eleven, like, at different times of the day. And for some reason, the main question would always be, like, who did you get? Like, who checked you out?
What?
And the one thing with me is, like, I would always say, I don't know, the racially ambiguous dude was down there when I went. And every time she's like, I've never seen a racially ambiguous dude. And I'm like, no, you know, I don't even know how to describe him because I don't know what he belongs to, what group.
Like, I don't know what his tribe is.
No, just the racially ambiguous dude. She's like, no, all I've ever seen is the guy who looks like Bobby from King of the Hill. I said, I see him too.
Oh my God.
Anyway.
What did you think about the TV show Atlanta?
As a whole, I liked it. It was enjoyable. Of course, again, there were those random off-the-wall episodes that kind of just had me like, huh? Or just feeling unsettled. But other than that, it was still good. And I still got the lessons that were in each episode or every other episode. I liked the character developments. It still had a happy ending.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all that's good in my book. How did you like it?
I liked it, man. Thought it was really cool. I don't really not like Donald Glover stuff. I like the look. I like the vibe of the show. I like the weirdness. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It was all right to get weird. I like the character growth. I like the character development. I like the lessons. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'll watch it again. I'm glad it happened. Yeah. What have you been watching recently, India?
I have been watching a lot. You're going to be so proud of me. I watched Monkey Man.
Okay. All right.
Movie written by, directed by Dev Patel.
Mm-hmm.
It was good. It was great. Damn, I watched something else. I forgot. Well, I watched Monkey Man, and that's all that matters. I've been craving, like, some, not nostalgia, but some familiarity. Mm-hmm. So I started rewatching On My Block. On My Block is a good show.
We'll have to talk about that one day.
We must.
Maybe season two. You never know.
You never know. But yeah, what have you been getting into?
What have I been getting into? I recently watched the movie Abigail, that horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
With the kid vampire. It was pretty interesting. You know what I mean? It was it had a lot, but some interesting twist, I would like to say. I thought it was gonna go a certain way and it went the other way, and I was like, okay, all right. I see where you're going, I see what you're trying to do here. Okay. Nice little tip of the cowboy hat. But yeah, that's what I watched. Man, is it over? Is this it? Are we done now?
No, you can't make a big deal about it.
What do you mean I can't make a big deal? This is...
like Atlanta. Like, it just ended. And you were like, huh, you got ended like that.
I'm not that cool. This is my first season, you know? Hey, man. Did a nice little Nice little season right now. This is. Are you getting emotional? Are you crying? I'm not crying. Are you crying? What? What are you? Come on, India. Pull it together.
Notice how I said nothing. In
Oh man. Well, this has been fun, guys. Appreciate you for tuning in, for watching, for listening. Thank you for keeping it real. I've been Zaki Lawrence.
Yeah. Thank you for sticking out for another season, you guys. And with that being said, peace.
Bye.